This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
We're up to segment number two in our continuous coverage in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's head to the courtroom.
Okay, we're back on the record. CR 22-21-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. The state's continuing its case in chief. Is there another witness to call this morning?
Yes, Your Honor.
Will that be?
It will be Detective Vincent Kaikamanu.
Okay. We'll go ahead and have the jurors brought in, and then you can call your witness. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right, from the state, who will be calling the next witness?
I will be, Your Honor.
Okay, Ms. Blake, you can call your next witness.
Detective Vincent Kaikamanu.
All right, before we get started with testimony, Detective Kaikamanu, have you viewed any of the trial testimony in this case in any way, read it, or listened to it since the trial started?
I have not.
Okay, thank you for that. When you're being questioned, please talk directly into the mic, use verbal responses for questions, and please don't talk over the top of any attorney questioning you so we can keep a clear record. With that in mind, Ms. Blake, if you'd like to inquire on direct, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Vincent Keone Kaikamanu. Last is K-A-A-I-A-K-A-M-A-N-U.
Where are you currently employed?
Fremont County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you been employed there?
18 years.
What is your current title and or position?
I'm currently a sergeant over the detective division and our school resource officers.
Have you held prior positions within the Fremont County Sheriff's Office?
I have. Before moving over to the detective division, I was a supervisor over patrol division. Before that, I also worked in our jail.
Do you have any specialized training in order to be a peace officer?
I do. I attended the Idaho Post standards and training. I went through several other trainings that included homicide trainings, child sex cases, narcotics investigation. I also hold a certificate in my advanced certificate, my intermediate certificate, my supervisor certificate, and command training certificate.
Do you recall receiving a phone call in the early morning hours of October 19th of 2019?
I do.
Who called you?
That morning, I actually missed the call from Detective or Deputy Greenhalge. Once I noticed I missed the call, I called her back.
And was that call about an unattended death?
Yes.
Did you learn who the decedent was?
Yes, I did.
And who was that?
Tamara Daybill.
And can you tell us why Deputy Greenalch had reached out to you?
So that night I was the on-call detective, and that's why she gave me a call.
And you say you'd missed the call. Was there a reason that you missed the initial call?
Earlier that night, around 11 o'clock, I was called out to assist Idaho Falls PD in an officer-involved shooting. I was down there till about 4:30. Once I got done with that, came home and fell asleep and missed her call.
Did you call her back shortly after that?
It was approximately about an hour and a half.
When you did reach her, do you know if she'd already been in contact with another detective with Fremont County?
She had been in contact with Detective Mattingly.
And do you both take calls when you're not on duty?
Yes.
And you indicated that you were down assisting with an investigation in an officer-involved shooting. Do you also assist other agencies as part of your job duties?
I do.
When the deputy called you that night, was that standard procedure at the time or common practice?
It was common practice, yes.
Did she indicate anything to you regarding there being any suspicious circumstances surrounding the death of Tamara Daybell at that time?
At that time, she did not. When I got a hold of her, she had already informed me that she talked to Detective Mattingly as well. I asked her if there's anything out of the ordinary at the house, if Tammy Daybell's body was anything suspicious with it, if there's any forced entry into the house. She informed me there was not. She also informed me that there were two coroners on scene as well. And again, she had already talked to Detective Mattingly before myself.
Had you heard Tammy Daybell's name prior to receiving that phone call from the deputy?
No.
Later on, well, let me back up. At some point, are you aware if an investigation was started into the circumstances surrounding Tammy Daybell's death?
After her death, yes, I was made aware.
And the investigation was not started immediately after her death, is that correct?
Correct.
Do you know approximately when Fremont County Sheriff's Office began investigating Tammy Daybell's death?
I believe Fremont County Sheriff's Office got involved approximately the end of October 2019.
So at least a few weeks after her death, approximately?
Yes.
Were you personally involved at the beginning of the investigation?
I was not.
At what point did you become personally involved in the investigation?
I got involved the end of March of 2020.
When you became involved in the investigation, are you aware if there were other related investigations being conducted by other agencies?
I was.
And what were those other investigations regarding?
I was made aware of an investigation on the attempted shooting of Brandon Boudreaux out of Gilbert, Arizona. I was also made aware of two missing kids, JJ and Tylee, and that investigation was also underway.
And I may have missed it, but were you also aware of an investigation involving the death of Charles Vallow?
Yes, I was, with Chandler PD.
Would it be fair to say that this became a joint investigation?
Yes.
Did you also assist in the investigation regarding the missing children?
I did.
During your investigation, did you learn of a prior incident involving Tammy Daybell that occurred on October 9th of 2019?
I did.
And what did you learn regarding that?
Once I got involved with this investigation and looking further into other reports, I was made aware of an attempted shooting on Tammy Daybell.
And that had occurred on October 9th of 2019?
Correct.
Were you personally involved in that investigation?
I did not respond to that, no.
As part of your investigation into the death of Tammy Daybell, did you review that incident?
I did.
As part of your duties and involvement in the investigation, did you also review some documents that were recovered from a device belonging to Tammy Daybell?
Can you re-ask that?
Yes. As part of your investigation, were you involved or did you review some documents recovered linked to Tammy's phone and or her email account?
I did.
And do you recall reviewing a message that Tammy Daybell had sent to her son, Mark Daybell?
I did review that, yes.
And, Your Honor, I'd ask that the court and the witness be handed State's Exhibit 291. Defense should have a copy. I have a copy here for the witness to review for the court and a courtesy copy for Your Honor.
All right. Thank you.
And if you would look that over, I think it may start at the bottom of the first page and continue on.
Okay, yeah.
Do you recognize that message?
I do.
Have you seen it before?
I have.
Your Honor, the state would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 291.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor, may I voir dire?
Yes.
So, as far as this Exhibit 291, how did you come into contact with this exhibit?
I came in contact with this exhibit through a warrant that I did on Tamara Daybell's email.
Okay. And you used this exhibit during the course of your investigation?
Not this exact exhibit, no.
Okay. Judge, I'm going to object that he doesn't have personal knowledge of it, and it's not proper to bring it in under with him.
And, Your Honor, if I may respond.
Yes, Ms.
Boyd. I believe it's actually, and I should have probably clarified this, I believe it's already been admitted under State's Exhibit 108, which was the admission of the email linked to Tammy Daybell. This is simply an extraction from that exhibit and has been provided its own exhibit number.
Then I would object to it being cumulative.
And, Your Honor, it has not been testified to. It's simply been provided as part of a global exhibit. And as to the first objection by him, I think the detective has identified this as a message he reviewed. This was reviewed as part of a phone extraction, which we simply can't pull over. That we couldn't bring in the exact phone extraction. So it's a copy of that.
All right. I'll need a moment, I think, to review what is Exhibit 108. Can you explain a little more about what 108 is?
108 was done with a business record certificate, is my understanding, and it contains the email, the information retrieved from that email search warrant that the officer referenced, that the detective referenced.
All right. If you'll give me just a moment, please.
And I was just clarifying with co-counsel. So the 108 is the business record certification for those documents that were provided to defense in discovery. We do have a 108A that has been provided. This was given its own exhibit number of 291, but it could be 108B. It's under that same business record certification.
Judge, I'll just renew my objection that it's cumulative. If we need to use 108, then we should use 108.
And again, to clarify, 108 was only the business record certification, not the full records being admitted. I believe we'd done the certificates in order to be able to admit portions of those without admitting the full record.
108 corresponds to the Fitbit information.
It should also reference tammy.daybell@gmail.com as the email.
All right, apologies, but let me have a brief sidebar with counsel if I can. All right, thanks, counsel. The court was able to clarify with counsel and review Exhibit 108, which has previously been admitted, which is the affidavit of records custodian. Contained within 108 also is the records for the email address that corresponds with the proposed Exhibit 291. Having considered that foundation that's already in the record through 108, I've considered the objection of the defense, and that will be overruled, and exhibit number 291 is admitted.
And Your Honor, I would actually ask that the witness be allowed to keep that exhibit momentarily.
The 291? Okay.
Yes, the 291.
I'd ask that he have to turn it over. I don't want him referring to it and reading from it if he's not going to. And I don't want him testifying from it, I guess.
Your Honor, I was going to ask that he read an excerpt from it. I can publish it to the jury, I guess, and have him read from that. But
I think that would be more appropriate, Ms. Blake, than if you want to publish it.
Detective, can you see that on the screen in front of you?
Yes.
And referencing the bottom, can you read into the record who this message is being sent from and who it's being sent to?
This message is sent from tammy.daybell@gmail.com. Tammy Daybell, sent to mark.daybell@missionary.org. Mark Daybell. Timestamped 10/13/2019 at 2:38:18.
And can you also see that on the screen?
Yes.
And is this a portion of that email?
Yes.
And could you read that into the record, starting with the now?
Now, on the same day, I was coming home from clogging. It was about
Your Honor, I'm going to object. I think we need some context as to who's speaking, who's writing this, what's going on.
Your Honor, he already indicated who the message was being sent from and who it was being sent to.
Yeah, the objection's overruled.
If you want to go ahead and start again there.
Yes. Now on the same day, I was coming home from clogging. It was about 9:15, and I backed into the front driveway. I was getting some items out of the back seat. We had made freezer meals at enrichment night, and my clogging shoes. I realized someone was by the back of the car. I looked up, thinking it was Dad or Garth to help me carry stuff in. Nope. It was a guy dressed in black with a ski mask on, pointing a rifle at me. I think I was a bit in shock because I just said, "What do you think you were doing?" Then I noticed a rifle was actually a paintball gun. It had a hopper on the top. The guy started pulling the trigger, and I could hear just hear the clicking of a whooshing sound of an empty paintball gun. He stayed standing by the back of the car, just pulling the trigger while pointing the gun at me. For some reason, I just kept asking him what he thought he was doing. At that point, I was actually more annoyed than scared, because he was standing between me and the door, and he didn't step towards me or even say anything. The scared part came after when my brain thought of what things that could have happened. The thought crossed my mind to hit him with my clogging shoes, but first I looked forward, first I looked towards the house and yelled, "Chad." The guy ran around the house, around the north side of the house. I ran in the house and got Dad and Garth. They looked outside, but we couldn't find him. We called the police and reported it. They suspect it was a bipolar teenager who lives down the street and walks around a lot. But Matt Price has an even better theory.
And I'll have you stop there. And through your investigation, you had reviewed that email?
Correct.
And that appears to be, in Tammy's own words, a description of the events of October 9th, 2019?
Correct.
When you were looking into this investigation, did you end up looking at additional information from a Homer J. Maximus account?
I did.
And, Your Honor, I have what's been marked as State's Exhibit 107B, if I can have the court. And I think I'm missing a courtesy copy for Your Honor, so I apologize. This is going to be a PowerPoint exhibit, so the actual exhibit would be on a jump drive. But if I could have the witness shown a copy, defense has been provided a copy, and there's another copy for the court. And if you could look through those pages. And do you recognize those pages?
I do.
And did you prepare or assist in preparing those in anticipation of your testimony today?
I did.
And do they in fact summarize some of the work and reviews that you conducted?
Yes.
Would they aid in your testimony today?
Yes.
And, Your Honor, I would move for admission of State's Exhibit 107B.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that Detective Kai Kamano is going to use this to not only reference different things in his own knowledge, but he's simply going to read for it from it. This is what the state's been doing in the past. They're publishing these summaries and having the detectives or the agents read from these, and I believe that it's improper for the detective to read from an exhibit and refresh his recollection at will because he has it right in front of him that's been published to the jury and the gallery.
All right, response to that, Ms. Blake.
Your Honor, if it's an exhibit, that is the purpose of creating a summary exhibit, is when there is a lot of information and you're going to reference only some of it, is to highlight that and to be able to reference it when it's detailed information. We just had the detective read from a summary, or excuse me, from an exhibit that if we'd ask him to memorize that whole thing is just not plausible. And so I think this is exactly why it does aid in the testimony and it is allowed for under the rules.
All right, the court's reviewed Idaho Rule of Evidence 1006 and would note that it does provide for the use of summaries if there is contents of voluminous writings, which has been established through the foundation. So for that reason, the court will allow for the PowerPoint presentation of 107B, but would note also that it's a demonstrative exhibit and the jury will be instructed as such.
Thank you, Your Honor. Permission to publish?
You may publish.
And I think I'd ask, so just to clarify, did you review some search history linked to a Homer J. Maximus account?
Yes, I did.
Did you determine who is identified as owning or being linked to the Homer J. Maximus account?
I did.
And who is that?
Alex Cox.
And through your investigation, did you learn who Alex Cox is or
I
was?
I did.
And who is that?
Alex Cox is the brother to Lori Vallow Daybell and is also the uncle to JJ and Tylee.
And in looking through these searches, were there some searches that stood out to you?
There were.
And what were some of the searches that stood out?
So throughout our investigation, this was a...
I'm going to object that he's just going to read directly from the print PowerPoint.
And Your Honor, I don't even think he started to read from it. He was providing explanation.
All right, I'll keep the objection in mind, but you can go ahead and answer the question, Detective.
Throughout our investigation, this was an ongoing and a joint investigation with several different agencies, Fremont County, Rexburg PD, Arizona, and the FBI. Throughout the investigation, I learned of the attempted shooting on Brandon Boudreau. I also learned of the homicide on Charles Vallow. I also learned of the two missing kids, JJ and Tylee. And then Fremont County started their investigation into Tamara Daybell. Looking through Homer J. Maximus and the Google search, there were a couple dates that I was looking at for my investigation over Tammy Daybell. But while looking through those and having all the information in my head, these other dates stuck out with me when I saw them. The first date that stuck out was the October 1st. October 1st, Alex Googles the address of the 3875 East Phelp in Gilbert, Arizona. This address is known to where Brandon Boudreau was living at the time. The next day he searches the same address, but he searches directions how to get to that address. This search was done at 7:15 a.m., and later on in the morning, Brandon Boudreau was shot at.
And were you able to determine, or did you see if that address was ever searched for again related to the Homer J. Maximus records you reviewed?
I did not see any other searches after that.
And you had talked about some specific dates that you were looking at involving the investigation into the into Tammy Daybell's death. What were some of the specific dates you were looking at related to Tammy?
The specific dates that I was looking at was through October, around the 7th, the 8th, and the time of the attempted shooting, and later on.
And in talking about that attempted shooting, were there some searches that drew your attention?
There were on October, again, in this investigation and knowing where Tammy Daybell lives, they live in a farm area. Behind their house is a very big open field, a river, several hundred yards behind their house on the east side. And so looking through Homer J. Maximus on October 8th, it was discovered that Alex had Googled 6.5 Grendel drop from 100 to 200 yards and also 100 to 300 yards. This was significant because at the time of my investigation, I felt that Alex was trying to figure out where he needed to be at the time and have an accurate shot on the attempted shooting of Tammy Daybell.
And at some point, did you learn or did you review where Alex Cox's data location showed him to be on October 9th earlier in the day?
Yes, earlier in the day, Alex Daybell was shown with...
And I think, sorry to interrupt, I think you said Alex Daybell. Do you mean Alex Cox?
Correction, yes, Alex Cox. His GPS was shown at 437 or 447 heading north on 1900 East in Rexburg, Idaho, which is towards the Daybell residence. Once he gets by that residence, which is 200 north, he takes a right, which is heading east to Highway 20. Once he gets to Highway 20, he turns around and makes that route again around the Daybell residence. This all happens in between the 447 time and the 503 time. During my investigation, what I feel that he was doing was scoping out the area of Tamara Daybell's home.
Objection. This is speculative.
I will sustain that and
move to strike.
The answer will be stricken, and please don't consider that last response, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Did you review any searches conducted on the Homer J. Maximus account for October 9th of 2019?
I did.
And what if anything about those caught your attention?
Alex Cox on that day also Googled how to make a ghillie suit. On that date he searched the muzzle energy of a 6.5 Grendel and
now, I'm going to object to him identifying it, that whoever was making these queries as being a specific person. I don't think he can prove that. I think that's speculative.
All right. I think there should be a clarification that these were searches attributed to the email, but maybe not that we knew an individual made the searches.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, these searches were conducted on the Homer J. Maximus account?
Correct.
And who was that account linked to during your investigation?
During my investigation, that account was associated and linked to Alex Cox.
And on October 9th, what about the searches conducted on the Homer J. Maximus account caught your attention?
On the 9th, it was the muzzle energy of a 6.5 Grendel. It was also the sizing of frog togs, the pants. This was significant. That same day,
I'm objecting to him indicating that it's a specific person.
Again, Ms. Blake, if we could just have response. Well, he'll make the responses he makes, but clarify that these are attributed to an email.
And I think he had just started to do that as the objection was being made.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake.
The Homer J. Maximus email and the device that's associated with was shown at Sportsman's Warehouse in Idaho Falls. Through our investigation, we learned that someone had purchased frog talk pants, flip mitts, and a winter hat that can turn into a mask.
And was that purchase made at the same time the Homer J. Maximus, the device linked to Alex, was at the Sportsman's Warehouse?
Yes.
And then the attempted shooting, in fact, took place on October 9th of 2019. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you look at some searches subsequent to that date?
After that date on October 9th, when I was looking, it stuck out to me. That account of Homer J. Maximus Googled how to prep an AR for cold, how to make your AR function in cold weather, AR cold weather operations, how does Hornady one-shot work in cold, is one-shot good lube for an AR-15 in 0 degrees, how to prep your AR-15 in winter shooting, how to help your AR load in the cold, do steel AR mag rings shrink in the cold. He also did a YouTube search on shooting an AR-15 at 37 degrees below zero.
And you reside in the Fremont County area or close by, is that correct?
Correct.
Are Octobers in Fremont County, do they tend to be cold?
They do.
Was there anything about this October that you recall with regard to the temperature?
On the temperature of this day or around this day, it was 26 degrees.
Did you find additional searches conducted subsequent to that October 9th attempted shooting?
I did. On October 12th, Homer J. Maximus is searching how to attach a cover to a ghillie suit. Will a Grendel 6.5 shoot through a windshield? FBI simulating shooting a 5.56 through a car door and wall. What caliber will penetrate a windshield? 2008 Dodge Dakota steel body thickness. What gauge steel are the doors on a Dodge Dakota made of? How thick is 22 gauge steel? How to drill baffles to make suppressors.
And Your Honor, I'm going to object to all of these answers. They have been. He's just been reading from the exhibit. It's not coming from his memory. It's coming from the exhibit.
Well, I think there should at least be a reference. I think a summary has been admitted. It's allowed to be referenced, but there needs to be a distinguishing between either personal testimony or simply taking information straight from the exhibit.
And those searches are designated on this slide, is that correct?
Correct.
And they were searches you discovered through your investigation, is that correct?
Correct.
When we look at those searches, what about some of those stood out to you in this investigation?
The ones that stuck out to me were the searches on the Dodge Dakota. Tammy Daybell and Chad Daybell had a 2004 Dodge Dakota registered to them. Tammy Daybell also drove that 2004 Dodge Dakota.
And do these appear to be searches by someone attempting to figure out what it would take to shoot through a vehicle?
Yes.
As part of your investigation, did you also review records obtained from the Fremont County Sportsman's Club gun range?
I did.
Were you able to determine if anything linked Alex Cox to having gone to that Sportsman's Club?
Yes, Alex Cox went to the Sportsman's Club in St. Anthony, Idaho, which is a gun range, five times through October 7th through the 15th. He never signed in as his name on Alex Cox on the sign-on sheet. He did sign in with
it. And I'm going to object to speculation, Judge.
And I can ask some clarifying questions, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Blake.
We see on this slide that we're referencing by there's a date and a time and then C. Quint. Were you able to determine what the relevance of C. Quint?
the relevance of Sequent is the license plate, except one letter to Alex Cox's vehicle.
And are you aware during the investigation of location data placing Alex Cox's device at the Sportsman's Club on these same dates?
Yes.
At some point, did you review or obtain some firearms that were recovered from the apartment complex where Alex Cox was known to reside?
I did.
Were you involved in the initial search, the execution of the initial search warrant recovering those?
I was not.
Did that in fact occur prior to your involvement in the investigation?
Yes.
At some point, did you observe firearms that were recovered during that search?
I did.
Did you, and what, if anything, did you do in relation to those firearms?
Those firearms were taken from the warrant that was served at those residents for safekeeping. Rexburg PD could not leave those there. Throughout our investigation, it was determined that possibly the attempted shooting on Tammy, and after having those those firearms in Rexburg PD, I obtained a warrant to seize those weapons for evidence.
And did you in fact seize those weapons?
I did.
And have they been kept in at the Fremont County Sheriff's Office?
Yes.
Until recently, some
yes.
of them maybe. Being held in evidence here in Boise.
Correct.
Were certain of the guns of more significance to you with regard to this investigation?
Yes.
Did you photograph some of those firearms?
I did.
Do you believe if you were shown a photograph that's purported to depict some of those firearms that you would recognize it?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would ask that the witness be shown and. Should I have them shown two exhibits, 281A and B? And defense already has copies of these. And there's a courtesy copy for Your Honor. And you've been shown two photographs. Do you recognize those?
I do.
Are those an accurate depiction of the firearms that were seized from that apartment complex?
They are.
Did you, in fact, take these photographs?
These ones I did not, no.
Were you present when they were taken?
Yes.
And you can recognize those?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would ask for the admission of State's Exhibit 281B and 281A.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. May I have voir dire?
Yes.
So these two firearms, are they here in Ada County now in the evidence locker?
The two that are here are the ones on the two on the that are taken together, yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I think that we need to, rather than having a photograph of these firearms, if he's going to testify about them, I would like the court to, the jury to be able to see what they look like and to see them actually in the courtroom.
Response.
And Your Honor, I think it's up to the state how we present evidence, and a photograph depicting an actual item is sufficient evidence.
Well, may I speak, Judge?
Go ahead.
What I think is going to happen is that he's going to akin these to being some sort of a paintball gun or being mistaken for a paintball gun, and I think the jury needs to see exactly what these things look like, how heavy they are. There's certain things that you just can't depict in a photograph.
All right, Mr. Thomas, I'll take the objection under advisement. I'm going to allow for the admission. There's been sufficient foundation of 281A, 281B will be admitted. If the defense feels that as part of your defense you want to have the actual evidence observed by the jurors. We'll consider that on cross-examination.
Very good, Your Honor. We just ask that the court inform the state that they need to bring that up because we will be asking for that.
Very well. And before we do that, counsel, I'll need to have a meeting with counsel, likely on a break, to discuss the protocols we have for firearms in the courtroom.
Very good.
And Your Honor, the state has retained the original exhibit. May I please publish that for the jurors?
Yes.
Or I should say exhibits. First, I'll publish State's Exhibit 281B. And are those several of the firearms that were retrieved?
Yes.
What was it about these particular firearms that drew your attention?
The one that drew our attention was the bottom one, which is the Alexander Arms Grindle 6.5.
And if I publish State's Exhibit 281A... Is that the one that you were talking about? Or was it the top one?
No, that is not the one I was talking about. That bottom one right there, the black one.
And what particularly was it about that firearm that drew your attention?
When Tammy Daybell first called in the attempted shooting, she described the rifle as a paintball gun. Out of the firearms that were seized at the residence and after looking at all the firearms, this one stuck out because it has a larger scope on it, which could be mistaken as a hopper, which Tammy described.
And a hopper is something on a paintball gun?
Correct. A hopper is on a paintball gun that holds the paintballs inside of it.
Do you have experience shooting paintball guns?
I do.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Growing up, used to shoot them all the time. We also use them currently in SWAT trainings and room clearing. That the guns that we have that we use for training are very identical to an AR-15 setup, which is close to this. Also has a hopper on it, and that's my experience with them.
Are you also familiar with AR-15s?
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about your experience with those?
Experience with those is training throughout my law enforcement career and shooting them prior to. You can put several different accessories on them and optics on them.
If I may have just a moment, Your Honor.
You may.
Your Honor, may we have a brief sidebar?
Yes. All right, thank you. Counsel, you can continue with your direct, Ms. Blake.
And the other photo we looked at that was not the gun in question, was that another firearm that was retrieved from the search at the apartments associated with Alex Cox?
Yes.
And you've talked about your experience with paintball guns. Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be shown State's Exhibit 282. I have a courtesy copy for the court. I'll hang on to the original briefly, and defense counsel already has a copy.
Very well.
Do you recognize what's just been shown to you?
I do.
And do you recognize the first image depicted there?
I do.
And is that the firearm that you've been referencing?
Yes, that is the Alexander Arms Grendel 6.5.
And the second item there, do you recognize that image?
I do.
And what would that be depicting?
That is a Tippmann paintball gun.
And that is just an example of one, correct?
Correct.
That was not recovered from anywhere?
It was not.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 282 as a demonstrative exhibit.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. It's inflammatory. It is. It does not depict what was actually seen that night. There's no way of knowing that. There's been no foundation as to what paintball gun was used that night, or if any at all. I mean, it's just inflammatory, and it's more prejudicial than probative at this point, even as a demonstrative exhibit.
And Your Honor, if I may respond.
Go ahead.
We did actually hear a description of the firearm in that email sent from Tammy to her son, specifically referencing a hopper. We've heard testimony from the detective regarding a hopper on a paintball gun, his experience with them, his experience with AR-15s, and the likeness. In addition, we've clearly established that this is not that the bottom one is not a firearm that was recovered, and that it is simply for demonstrative purposes.
All right, the court has considered this proposed exhibit under Rule 403, and having considered that rule, I am going to sustain the objection that I'm not going to permit the admission of Exhibit 282 as a demonstrative exhibit, as it could cause prejudice or confusion. So for that reason, the objection is sustained, and that will not be admitted.
Thank you.
Detective, again, you do have experience with using paintball guns and AR-15s?
Correct.
And there are similarities between the two?
Correct.
Specifically, I think you referenced a hopper on a paintball gun?
Correct.
And what part of an AR-15 would that be similar to?
I go back to, you can put several different accessories on an AR-15 and a rifle. You can put scopes on there, optics, things like that.
And was there something like that on the AR-15 recovered in the residence or in the apartment complex linked to Alexander Cox?
On the Alexander Arms Grendel 6.5, yes, there was.
And I'm going to move forward a little bit, and we'll circle back to some of these other questions a little bit later. Through your investigation, did you learn of or review an email that was sent from Charles to Tammy?
I did.
And would that be Charles Vallow?
Correct.
Did you also review or obtain an email sent from Charles to Chad Daybell?
I did.
And what were those emails referencing, if you recall?
The email that was sent to Tamara Daybell from Charles Vallow was in regards to Charles was aware of a possible cheating going on between his wife and Chad Daybell, and he would like to meet with her and talk with her to discuss that. He didn't want to send all that information in an email.
Were you ever able to determine through your investigation if Tammy ever actually read that email?
I was not.
So to this day, you do not know or have not been able to determine if that was actually read by her or not?
That is correct.
And then the email from Charles to Chad, do you recall the content or the gist of that email?
The email from Charles Vallow to Chad Daybell was sent on the same day, and it was in regards to Chad needed to stop talking to his wife, Lori, and tell his wife, Tammy, what was going on.
And those emails were sent prior to October 18th or 19th of 2019?
Correct.
And moving forward a little bit, did you end up conducting or requesting a geofence warrant for several locations at some point in your investigation?
I did.
What locations did you request those warrants for, or that warrant for?
The two locations that I requested a geofence warrant was for 202 North, 1900 East, which is Tamara and Chad Daybell's residence. The second geofence that I asked for was at 3462 North Salem Highway, which is the LDS church just down from the Daybell residence.
And what date range did you request on that warrant?
From October 18th into October 19th, 2019.
Did you request a certain perimeter?
I did. I requested 150 meters perimeter.
And did you request the 150 meters for each location?
Correct.
And with regard to it, and was that warrant actually granted?
It was.
Did you receive responsive documents?
I did.
Did you review those?
I did.
When you get a when you get responsive documents on a geofence warrant, can you talk us through a little bit about the process from there or what you did?
When we get a signed warrant from the judge granting us that, law enforcement needs to go onto the Google website and go into their law enforcement portal. At that time, the warrant is entered into their law enforcement portal, and Google will respond with any information that is granted on that warrant. Once I got the information back from Google, it came back with what's called a Google identification number.
And when you get those Google identification numbers, what, if anything, are you looking for or do you do with that information?
So when we get the Google identification numbers, that number does not tell us who that number is associated with or who that number belongs to on a device. We then have to write another warrant for those numbers to Google with the same process, and Google is able to tell off those numbers what device that's connected to and who is associated with that device.
Were there certain Google identifier numbers that you ended up requesting additional information for?
There was four.
And why did you request for those four? What were you looking for with those Google identifiers?
So when I first got the Google identifiers back on my first warrant, I met with Detective Stubbs with Rexburg PD. We had gone through those numbers and went through the two geofences that were requested and went down and scaled it down from numbers that had been going through the first geofence into the second geofence. Those numbers were then taken and another warrant was wrote. During that process, I was informed by Detective Stubbs that he had recognized a number off of my geofence warrant. That number, he had previously wrote a warrant which was associated with Homer J. Maximus, which returned to Alex Cox.
With regard to the four that you followed up on, did you determine there was any connection in relation to your investigation?
On the numbers that I received?
The ones not linked to the Homer J. Maximus account? I guess let me back up and ask it this way. With those four numbers, did you do any follow-up?
I did.
And based on your follow-up, did you determine that those numbers had any connection to your investigation?
Yes, and they did not.
Did you actually speak with the individuals or determine why they would have been in that area?
Two of them I did speak with. The third one I could not get a hold of. I did do some research on Facebook and found out where he lived, and ended at that because I couldn't get a hold of him.
And did he live within the vicinity of where these geofence warrants were being conducted?
He did. He lived north of the Daybell residence off of Trapper Lane.
And with the geofence warrant, do you know what kind of data that's looking at, whether it's GPS, Wi-Fi, or cellular?
The geofence warrant goes off of wireless information and GPS information.
So it does not include the cell data information?
Does not.
that I'm aware of.
And you indicated that Detective Stubbs recognized one of those Google identifiers as belonging to Alex, or as belonging to a device associated or an account associated with Alex Cox. Is that correct?
Correct.
Did you do further investigation to determine, well, I'll back up, which location was that device? You said you did a warrant for two different locations. Which location was the device associated with Alex Cox showing at?
That device was shown at the Salem Church.
Were you able to determine approximately what time frame that device was showing as being there?
That device was shown at the Salem Church at 10:07 p.m. on October 18th, 2019.
At some point, were you able to determine the last point or data point for that device at the Salem Church?
That device is shown there from 10:07 p.m. to 10:45 p.m.
And then at that point, did you have any other hits or data points within the vicinity of your search warrant for that device?
I did not.
Did you, through your investigation, learn of another data point later that night associated with that device?
Yes, at 11:53 p.m., that device, or Homer J. Maximus connected to a device, was later picked up on Wi-Fi 7 minutes away on Highway 20 from the Salem Church.
Through your Google search warrant, or the geofence, did you locate a device associated with Chad Daybell in either location?
I did not.
Through your investigation, did you learn of or review statements made by Chad Daybell as to his whereabouts on the night of October 19th into the morning hours of October 18th into the morning hours of October 19th?
Through other interviewers and deputies, Chad Daybell had made statements that he was at home.
And yet none of his devices were showing within the geofence?
Correct.
Do you know when Tammy's funeral was held?
Tammy's funeral was held on October 22nd, 2019.
Within approximately 3 days after she was pronounced dead?
Correct.
Do you know where that funeral was held?
Springville, Utah.
Through your investigation, did you learn or determine if Tammy had any life insurance policies?
She did.
How many policies did she have?
Three or two.
And do you know who the beneficiary was?
Chad Daybell.
And when you say three, were there three different amounts referenced across two policies?
There was Primerica, LifeMap, and then Idaho Percy.
So the Idaho Percy was the third one?
Correct.
Which is a retirement?
Correct.
Was Chad Daybell the beneficiary of all of those?
Yes.
Through your investigation, did you determine if the life insurance paid out?
Yes.
And who did they pay out to?
Chad Daybell.
Are you aware if Chad Daybell has pending charges for insurance fraud?
He does.
Do you know where those are pending?
He has two counts of insurance fraud out of Fremont County.
And, Your Honor, I think with the additional questions I have for this witness, we discussed in a sidebar maybe breaking and reconvening with additional questions after lunch.
Okay. We will go ahead and take our lunch recess at this time. We will try to get started again just before 1 o'clock, probably 12:50 or 12:55.
That wraps up segment number two in our continuous coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There is more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hidden Killers Podcast.